With all the economic turmoil in Europe, how do you think the Greeks feel?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The ratings agency Moody's downgraded two big French banks this morning because of concern that they are too exposed to Greek debt and don't have enough cash. Meanwhile, the leader of Greece will speak by phone with the leaders of Germany and France later today as all three try to calm nerves across Europe. For more on the situation in Greece, which seems to change by the hour, let's bring in journalist John Syropoulos. He is in Athens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Does it look less likely or more likely that Greece is going to default on its debt?
I would say less likely because it's a sign of reassurance from Europe's two main Eurozone powers that they are lending their support to Greece and expressing concern about the Greek reform program. The Greek public is extremely worried about the possibility of a default or an exit from the euro, and this sort of contact with European leaders is reassuring.
Well, what about that idea of an exit from the euro? Is that looking like a real possibility?
It's something that both the European leaders and the Greek government vehemently deny is anywhere on the horizon. However, as the German weekly magazine Der Spiegel revealed earlier this week in an article, the German finance ministry has been working on contingency planning for the possibility of a Greek default and what effect that might have on the euro, which the German government did not subsequently deny. So outside of the official statements, these fears are being seen as a possibility in the midterm future.
What does it feel like to be Greek right now? I mean, I imagine you're not too popular amongst your European neighbors.
I think many of my fellow Greeks that I speak to feel very embarrassed about the image that Greece has now acquired in the world. But mostly, most people feel very concerned about their children's future because the crisis, it is now fully understood, is long term. And what people are afraid of is that they will lose middle-class status and that the Greek economy as a whole will simply drop off the world map for about 10 years. And they are seriously thinking about sending their children abroad.
John Syropoulos, a journalist in Athens, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in Europe and Asia this morning, about a percent, about a half percent higher, rather, in Singapore, and up in the 2% range higher across Europe right now. Toyota says its production in North America is back up to full capacity 6 months after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan caused a worldwide slowdown. And here in the U.S., we are waiting for tonight's midnight deadline for the big three American automakers to reach a new labor contract with the United Auto Workers Union. Still no deal so far. Far, though Ford has said it's going to keep talking past midnight. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 44 points to close at 11,105.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
A group of corporate leaders, including General Electric CEO Jeffrey Immelt and Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates, says Washington is not spending nearly enough money researching new energy technology. The group is called the American Energy Innovation Council, and its members met with lawmakers from both parties on Capitol Hill yesterday. We're pleased to be joined now by a member of the council, Bill Gates. Welcome to Marketplace.
Great to be here.
Well, what exactly are you asking Washington to do?
Well, a group of business leaders came together to say that the investment in energy research is much lower than it needs to be, whether it's for getting low-cost energy or securing our energy supply or reducing environmental damage. We need breakthroughs. And the government funds research in a lot of areas, but in the case of energy, it's very low. And so we said that playing their key role, that's got to be increased by about $8 billion a year.
But that's a pretty big thing to ask for at a time when they're facing big trillion-dollar budget deficits.
Well, if you look at the country's challenges in terms of the trade deficit and the impact that has on the economy, energy spending is a big factor there. And, you know, I do think investing in the future is important at all times. The U.S. is by far the best at doing this type of innovation. It's the support of our universities and startups, national laboratories that really put us in position to make breakthroughs that will help meet the world's energy needs, but also create great companies and great jobs here.
Finally, since so much of Washington's ability to make these kinds of investments hinge on the state of the economy, how would you rate Washington's handling of the economy?
All of us wish that more jobs were being created, and there's a lot of talk about how best to do that. Certainly innovation, if you take the right time frame, is the reason why I'm optimistic that we will see improvements both in the economy and the type of goods that get made. It's easy to underestimate innovation and what it means, but in the near term, we're in the hands of what the economists and politicians can do. As you move out in time, if you fund innovation, then you can be very optimistic about where things go.
Bill Gates, who is in a push for more investment in energy research. Mr. Gates, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you can hear an extended interview, including Bill Gates' thoughts on getting the private sector involved in energy research, at marketplace.org. And finally, North Korea has had a hard time getting tourists to come visit, perhaps because of the cold weather, or maybe it's the authoritarian regime. I don't know. But North Korea has just launched a cruise ship. Now, it's not exactly like the cruise ships down in the Caribbean. According to a journalist who took a ride, the water faucets don't work, the cabins are dorm-like, and they take away your phones when you make a stop on shore. But the all-you-can-eat buffet, oh, actually, there isn't one of those either. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In an economy with more job seekers than jobs, there is a certain dilemma to be had, a trade-off, if you will.
There's an older segment of the working population that brings experience and a certain wisdom, and the younger generation brings a wonderful vitality.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Jobs Through the Ages, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.